I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, the one who we can trust, the one who is our Savior, gave his life for us that we can have hope of eternal life. I enjoyed being here again this morning and worshiping with you. Enjoyed the singing of the hymns. Brother Duane did not know what I planned to preach on, the songs that he led after Sunday school were particularly meaningful to me. And I do seek an interest in your prayers as I endeavor to bring what God has laid on my heart. It's a sense of trepidation. I feel excited inside. I feel nervous, very nervous. And perhaps it's because of the subject. I want to preach this morning on Halloween, paganism, and the Word of God. Halloween, paganism, and the Word of God. You may say, preacher, what are we talking about this for on a Sunday morning? Well, I'm reminded that we have young ones growing up among us, a generation growing up among us, and I trust this morning that as parents, we are teaching our children in our homes regarding the dangers of these things, Halloween and paganism, and we're feeding them the Word of God. And I see a need in my own home, my own life, to study the Word of God more. I tried to shake this message off. I didn't want to preach it. There's got to be something else, Lord, that I should preach. But I was not able to do that, and I finally submitted to share in my own meager way on this subject, and I certainly do not profess to know everything about this. But my thoughts started on this path through a conversation I had earlier in the week when I was asked, Dave, are you going to take your children trick-or-treating? And I said, I forget what I said at that point. I think I detected the individual probably was more joking with me and sort of wanted to poke at me rather than really seriously wanting to know, sort of felt that way. I said something, but I forget what my response was at that point. Well, I did give a response, and his response back to me was, yeah. He said, I don't worship the devil. Yeah, it's, in other words, it's fine. Take your children trick-or-treating. I walked away from my desk and went out into the warehouse, and another friend of mine said, hey, Dave, you got to take your children trick-or-treating. And loud enough so other people could hear. And we talked a little bit. I said, you know the Bible, right? And we're good friends. Yeah, but it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you shouldn't go trick-or-treating or have Halloween. It doesn't say that anywhere. Anyway, we had a little discussion there. I said, maybe we should bring this up at break time sometime. It was a nice, friendly conversation. But you know, it got me to thinking, why don't I go trick-or-treating? Why don't you go trick-or-treating with your children? Why don't you have spiders and witches and all manner of ugly things hanging on your porch? Did you ever think about that? Will you someday? You see, spiders and cats and brooms and, well, spiders and cats and what else is it? Skeletons. Those things in themselves are not wrong. God made them. But there's a misapplication of these things. So as I searched my belief and tried to formulate an answer, I was challenged to a deeper study, and that is what I would like to share with you this morning. So my study, as I pondered this week and did some study, listened to a documentary from Answers in Genesis, which I found to be very enlightening, very helpful. And perhaps you know all that I'm about to share, and teach me more. Share with you some of the things that I've learned and what I didn't realize. We'll get to the Bible here in just a moment. The ancient Celtics had a festival that they called, that was called Samhain. It is spelled Samhain. The Samhain festival or celebration took place at the end of harvest and onset of winter, which was the dark half of the year. And Samhain marked the beginning of the Celtics' new year. The Celtics believed, and these were ancient Celtics of years gone by. They were, I believe, descendants of Gomer. And the Celtics believed that during this time, the veil between the dead, the spirit world, and the physical world, that veil between these two worlds would break down and there would be more interaction between those living and the spirits of those that have died. And that veil was very thin, and these spirits of the departed dead could come through the veil and could come, and they would be roaming around. So they would prepare offerings for these fairies, which they left out in the field because they might be coming by. They were scary. It was scary time. They would dress up in costumes so these fairies would not be tempted to kidnap them. Large bonfires were set. They would allow the fires in their houses at the hearth to go out. And they would light large bonfires. And there was very evil things that they participated in this festival. Sacrifices, too gruesome to mention, what they would participate in. The dwellers, the home dwellers, would take of these big bonfires, firebrands, and they would use to relight their fires in their hearths, supposedly to give them better life. Sacrifices of various types and rituals. As Christianity gained a foothold in these pagan communities, church leaders began, the Roman Catholic Church, began to try and Christianize Samhain. And around the 5th century, it moved back to around May 13, and then later, Pope Gregory moved the time back to the time of the fire festivals, or these big bonfires, and they called it All Saints' Day, a time of remembering. The Roman Catholics set up All Saints' Day, which is November 1. If you look on your calendar at home, you will see November 1, All Saints' Day. It was a time to remember the departed dead, those martyred, and in conjunction with this, was All Hallows Evening, which is October 31, which became Halloween. Interestingly enough, I did not realize, but Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the wall of the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. The date was October 31, 1517. It was the day before All Saints' Day, November 1. And you know, the day that people go, they might not go to church any other day of the year, but they will go to church on Easter and Christmas. Well, that's how it was then. On November 1, Martin Luther knew that there would be a lot of people coming to church on All Saints' Day. His 95 theses were nailed to the church door. And we know that as the start of the Reformation. This was the day that people went to church, even if they didn't go the rest of the year. And the festival of Samhain was a pagan festival and consisted of very wicked things. Very wicked things. And it's just a whole host of things that they were involved in. Fortune telling. Bobbing apples was something that was associated with it. I'm not saying it's wrong to bob apples. I bobbed apples already. But it was associated with these things. They put treats out for these fairies and food. When the Irish Celts came over to the U.S. around the 1840s, they brought with them their Halloween practices. And today, Halloween is the second most commercialized holiday, of which Christmas is first. 1/4 of all annual candy sales take place over Halloween. National Retail Federation is expecting $10.14 billion in sales related to Halloween items this year. 65% of Americans are expected to participate in Halloween. And I do not feel that we are in danger of becoming Halloween supporters. I do not feel that way. But are we in danger of becoming pagan? What is pagan? You see, the festival of Samhain was a pagan festival. What does that mean, preacher? Pagan means a person who worships many gods or goddesses or the earth and nature. That's just description number one, definition number one. Number two is one who has little or no religion and who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods. He's an irreligious or hedonistic person. Interestingly enough, this word pagan it's derived from a Latin word, pagamus, which means country dweller, a peasant, one who lives out in the country. Perhaps because those who lived away from the city where the Christians were preaching, and it was in the cities where people were learning about God and learning the ways and repenting and becoming Christian, Perhaps the civilians who lived out in the country were the ones who were later to hear the word of God and the gospel. Because the civilians, the Christians in the cities who converted to Christianity called themselves soldiers of Christ. And we see that in the Bible. You will read, and soldier of Christ, or as soldiers of Christ in, and the opposite was pagan or country dweller, out in the country practicing their own pagan practices. Death is seen as the hero in pagan religions, and man is the exalted one. But death is the hero, and it's death, and it's gory, and it's evil. This revolving death. You see, evolution, receives the glory because it's the death, the dying that evolves into something better. And death is the glorious thing. Halloween glorifies death. Let us remember that there are only two religions and only one true religion. The true religions are Christianity and humanism. Christianity is founded on the Bible, the Word of God, the living Word of God, salvation through repentance and surrender to the work of the Lord Jesus and hope of eternal life. Humanism is any religion that exalts man in his interest and values. It's humanism. Exalts man and his interest and his what he's after, what he's about. I'm going to list to you 8 humanistic religions. And I get fired up about this. Emotional about this. Because brothers and sisters, loved ones this morning, young people, if you're not a committed soldier of Jesus Christ and living in victory and on fire for God and serving Him, we will become a casualty. If we are not committed to the Lord. Number one, these humanistic religions. And we see them afloat today, and I think we feel the winds in our own lives. Secular, which simply is non-religious and worldly. Non-religious and worldly. Number two is atheism, which is lack of belief in God. Well, they don't believe in God. Well, they are religious then. They're humanistic. They believe in themselves and they believe in their own. Number three is new atheism. What is new atheism? It is a naturalist worldview, which means that science, you know, science is what reality. Like if it's proved by science, then that's reality. But if it can't be proved by science, then it's not reality. Like science is the authority. It's the new atheism, naturalistic worldview. Number four is the agnosticism. What does that mean? That means that it cannot be known or not known if God exists. You can't really know if he does. You can't really know if he doesn't. It's just, I don't know. Agnosticism. These are religions afloat in the world today. There's non-religious. They do not believe in religion. They do not believe it. There's naturalism. That everything is natural and no supernatural exists. Everything is natural. There is paganism, as we talked about. And there is number 8, any worldview deviating from God's word is part of humanism. Any worldview deviating from God's word. And today, and I have friends that talk about this, that there are doctrines being taught in colleges and campuses where these are Christian colleges and campuses that are teaching that, well, maybe some of evolution does fit into creation. Maybe some of that is okay. We need to be on guard, and we need to be firm in our belief in Jesus Christ and his word. I appreciated the talk, Brother Justin, on creation this morning. God created. Can we as Christians be deceived? Is it possible that our faith in Jesus Christ can grow cold and we can become vain in our imagination and become darkened? Is that possible? Luke 21 and verse 8, and Jesus, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'd like you to turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to take the remainder of the message from Ephesians chapter 5. Halloween, paganism, and the Word of God. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Loved ones, we have a foundation. The Word of God is true. We have a foundation. We know. where we came from. We know where we're going. We know why there's pain and anguish, why there's bad things that happen in the world. We know it's because of, we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and the fall of man, and because of sin. It's because of sin. It's not because God has desiring to bring punishment, and his original intent for mankind was happiness. But sin entered the world. This morning, if you're a child of God and you have given your heart to him, there's a few things that I want to talk about as it relates to be not deceived. Be not deceived. Do not become vain. Do not become pagan. Where God is not in your thoughts, you do not recognize God. There's three walks in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to look at them briefly. The first one is walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet Savior. Walk in love. To walk in love as Christ has loved us requires giving of our all. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We read about the will of God here in Ephesians chapter 5. Can't lay my eyes on it here now, which verse it is. But it talks about, yes, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Paganism exalts itself. It exalts self. Godliness yields oneself to the authority of Jesus Christ. Paganism exalts oneself. And we can understand why our friends in the world, they try to find the answers for betterment of the world and betterment of society in themselves and in what they know and in science. And we understand that that's where they're going to go. Without God and the knowledge of God and belief in God and Jesus. God's will is found in living the life of pure love. Matthew 22, when the lawyer came to Jesus, Jesus' response to him was, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That was the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Genuine, pure love. No reservations. Genuine love with all our heart. Walk in love. We can love God because he first loved us. We can love him. It's possible that we can love him in return because he first loved us and made a way possible that we can love him. You see, the Christian story doesn't stop with death. Death isn't the hero. Death is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, and death is not the hero. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's the beautiful thing, the death and resurrection. The second walk is walk as children of light. Verse 8. Walk as children of light. Young people, older people, all of us together, do not tamper with the things of evil, whatever. The things of evil. They may fascinate, it might fascinate you. Whatever it might be, you think of it. It just comes to me now. But walk as children of light. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was studying on Samhain. And all of a sudden, an ad popped up, covered my screen, and it was a Wicca occult ad. I couldn't X off of it. It said, "Do you want to see a mystery or excitement in your inbox? Just put in your email address." And it was an occultic website. I needed to X off and re-enter where I was reading. Loved ones, say no to those things. Walk as children of light. Fruit of the Spirit that is evidenced in the life of one who walks as a child of light. There's three of them here. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit. Notice that there is fruit of the Spirit and there is unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not sure what all is implied by that. But walk as children of light. The fruits of the Spirit. Good. The first one is goodness. It is the virtue of benevolence. It's the virtue of beneficence, which means doing or producing good, performing acts of kindness and charity. Are you a person that is living a walking in light? And you're going about doing good, like Jesus says, like Jesus was. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. That's our calling, to go about doing good, not be workers of darkness. Are we living lives of goodness, lives of charity and kindness to others, to our church family and to our friends, our neighbors, to those we meet? It's a fruit. It's an evidence of a child walking in light. The second one is righteousness. Righteousness means equity of character and act. What does that mean? It simply means pure and holy, innocent and just. It means right living. Right living. When we make choices in life on what we're going to buy, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, righteousness. The Holy Spirit in our life teaches us and guides us. And we make decisions based upon principles of God's word. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have no fellowship with pagan practices. Have no fellowship with them. Third one is truth. Simply to be true in doctrine and profession. Also pure and genuine. The Bible is truth. God's word is truth. John 17:17, sanctify them. This is Jesus preaching to the Father. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. We hold in our hands today the living word of Jesus. This is the word, God's will and testament for us in the Bible. We shouldn't throw the Bible, our Bible around and treat it carelessly. It's God's word. It's his word in paper form for us to read his will for our lives. Truth. The last walk is walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means exact or carefully. And I get the picture of walking across a log that's lying across a creek. Or maybe you're stepping on stones and you're walking across and you're not really excited about getting wet. Maybe it's a fall hike and it's cool and you're just not really excited about getting wet. And you choose your walk carefully and you step on those stones and you test the stone and it wiggles and you back away and you go for another one that's more solid. Walk circumspectly. Walk not as fools, but as wise. A careful walk is a walk of alertness and perception. It is a walk of discernment and takes into account the path of safety and the path not so safe. Young people, I was talking about you again here, but I have a burden that we choose right things. That we choose the right path. It makes a difference what music you listen to. It makes a difference how addicted to sports you are. It makes a difference. At the end of life, we're going to get into heaven because we were Christians and we loved the Lord Jesus. And we said no to evil. And we chose where we stepped our walk and how we walked. And we took the pain of suffering. Sad is the day when people are mocked and scoffed and bullied for making right choices. Sad is the day. Walk circumspectly, carefully. Circumspect walking is a walk of wisely chosen choices. Intoxication. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. It simply says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. I would like to broaden that out to mean. To say that intoxication of any kind impairs one's vision and distorts one's ability to make rational decisions. Intoxication of any kind. A circumspect walk sings the songs conducive to spiritual growth and worship. A circumspect walk is a life of thankfulness, cheerfulness, melody in your heart. To the Lord. A thankful person is thankful for what he has and is not a person that's bitter because of what he doesn't have. Circumspect walk submits one to another in the fear of God. I'd like to conclude. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Jesus Christ came, and he was the infinite sacrifice. He was the sacrifice that satisfied an infinite Father. We couldn't do it, but he came and did it for us so we can have life in him, a new life. I'd like to just turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You do not need to turn here. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. As we move through this week, and you have conversations, and as you see the things around you, one of the things I didn't point out in Ephesians 5, it talks about not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It also says, but rather reprove them. I think we should be talking. Now, I don't think we should be talking in ways of the word nasty, and but I think we should be talking with reproof and challenge as we rub shoulders with the darkness of the world. This world will become darker and darker and darker. Just the same, our light should be shining brighter. But it's going to take individuals who are committed, who are drinking in the Word of God, and willing to stand. Let us pray.